to Numbers chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2. Guess what? I told Brother Don, you can go ahead and go there. Told Brother Don that since he wasn't going to be here, I had all kinds of liberties. And I was going to take advantage of it. So let me tell you something. You all get ready. Now, I'm not going to do a Sean Davis on you, but I'm going to be coming down from here in a little bit, and I'll show you why. Okay? I'm not going to go up and down the main aisle here preaching to everyone as I go. But I am going to come down from the pulpit, and y'all be ready for that. Numbers chapter 2. I'm not even going to give you my subject matter yet. I'm going to keep you at bay for a little bit. I want to go through several steps until I get there. It just come to me. Drew, was you supposed to do the devotion today? Did you do it last Sunday?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. He filled in for me last Sunday.
Yeah, it was your turn.
It was my turn. And I asked him, since we wasn't going to be here, for him to fill in last Sunday and I'd fill in this Sunday. he always likes to cut his father-in-law's legs out from under him. That's the reason I love him. Okay. Numbers chapter 2. Everybody ready? Okay. I'm going to read. Y'all would have to be okay with me taking a little bit of time here, because I got to read the whole chapter to get the context, okay? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard, with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. And on the east side toward the rising of the sun shall they of the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. And his host and those that were numbered of them were 64,600. And those that do pitch next unto him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Zuar, shall be captain of the children of Issachar. And his host, and those that were numbered thereof, were 54,400. Then the tribe of Zebulun and Elab, the son of Helon, shall be captain of the children of Zebulun. And his host and those that were numbered thereof were 57,400. And all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. On the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies, and the captain of the children of Reuben shall be Elzur, the son of Cedar, and his host, and those that were numbered thereof. Have I pronounced these okay for you all so far? These names are a little tough. We're 46,500, and those which pitch by him shall be the tribe of Simeon, and the captain of the children of Simeon shall be Shemuel, the son of Zurish Hadi. You want to say that about six times real quick?
I didn't want to say it once.
Huh? Zurishadai? Is that how y'all want to pronounce it? And his host and those that were numbered of them were 59,300. Then the tribe of Gad, and the captain of the sons of Gad shall be Elish, the son of Reuel, And his host and those that were numbered of them were 45,650. And all that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 151,450 throughout their armies, and they shall set forth in the second rank. Then the tabernacle of the congregation shall set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camp. As they encamp, so shall they set forward every man in his place by their standards. On the west side shall be the standard of the camp of Ephraim, according to their armies, and the captain of the sons of Ephraim shall be Elishama, the son of Ammihudu, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And by him shall be the tribe of Manasseh, and the captain of the children of Manasseh shall be Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 32,200. And the tribe of Benjamin, and the captain of the sons of Benjamin shall be Abidan, the son of Gideoni, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 35,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 100,000 and 8,000 and 100,000 throughout their armies, and they shall go forward in the third rank. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north side by their armies, and the captain of the children of Dan shall be Ahiezer, the son of Amishadiah, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 62,700, and those that encamped by him shall be the tribe of Asher. The captain of the children of Asher shall be Pigel, the son of Ocran, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, and the captain of the children of Naphtali shall be Ahara, the son of Enan, and his host, and those, and his host, and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All they that were numbered with the camp of Dan were 100,050 and 7,600. They shall go hindmost with their standards. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their hosts were 600,000 and 3,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses. And the children of Israel, listen closely. I know this is a lot of reading and you're bored, but listen closely. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward everyone after their families, according to the house of their fathers. Remember what I said in verse 34 there. The children of Israel did according to that the Lord had commanded Moses. They did it. They might have liked it, but he did it. Okay. Now, all of that being said, if you go back, we're going to scan over this one more time. We'll bore you even more. We're going to scan over this one more time, and we're going to pick out the important thing here. The important thing. In verses 3, 5, and 7, you find that there were camped three tribes on the east side of the tabernacle, right? In verses 10, 12, and 14, you had three on the south side. In verse 17, it talks about the Levites. The Levites were in the middle. In verse 18, 20, and 22, you find three tribes on the west side. And then in verses 25, 27, and 29, if you want to go back there and look at those, and you want to write this down, make sure that I could get it right. It shows that there are three tribes on the north side. So you had north, south, east, west. And just to throw in a little extra for you, the ones on the east side were the first ones to leave out whenever they moved. And they went in order after that. Okay. Now, that being said, it's time for me to come down from the pulpit. I want to show you this. I made this up. Okay? According to what? This is a little visual for you here. Donna squinting, so I'm going to have to walk down through here and show everybody. Take a good look at it. Take a good long look at it. North, south, east, and west. Levites in the middle. Okay? Everybody see this? You want to stick it too?
I don't, son.
You got it?
Yeah.
There was three tribes on each side of it. Y'all guys want to see it? Okay. Now, let me stay here for just a minute. And I'll get to the crutch of what I'm saying here. You have east, west, north, south. Okay? Levites is in the middle, plus those that ministered in the tabernacle. The Kohathites, the Gershonites, and different ones, different of those tribes. The Merarites, they were subject to taking care of things in the tabernacle. Okay. Do you notice anything with this diagram? Do you notice anything that stands out to you?
The middle.
What? What? You're putting there. The tabernacle is the center, isn't it? You know what that means? God set it up for the worship place to be in the center of the people. Did you all figure that one out? So, I'm real elementary in what I'm doing here, right, folks? Now, I want you to remember this. Every time the nation of Israel picked up and moved, when they stopped and set up again, they set up exactly like this. Remember what it said in verse 34, that they'd done. The children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. Every time. Remember, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Think of how many times they stopped and started and how many times that they set this up, each time exactly the same. God, His place of worship was the centerpiece every time that they stopped. Now, that brings us to us. What should be our centerpiece of worship? I know everybody says God, Jesus Christ, what? The church. Okay. I'm going to do a play on words here. The church is the central place of worship. Right? Should we call it the church? Should we call it the church?
Yes.
Well, your mic's about two steps ahead of me, as usual. The church is actually ecclesia, which means the called out assembly. Now, if you go to Psalms, if you want to, you can turn there so you can make sure that Dale's telling you this right. If you want to go to Psalms chapter 122, Psalms 122, verse 1, David says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the church. David calls it the house of the Lord, doesn't he? So, my question to you is this. Should we call it the church or should we call it the house of the Lord? Or should we say the church, the called out assembly, meets in the house of the Lord? Would that be more of a proper thing to say?
No.
Or do we continue to say church? Because church was derived from temple. I went back and I looked it up. Yes, I did. I went back and looked it up. So are we right or are we wrong by calling it church? I think we can do it either way. I think we can call it church or we can call it the house of the Lord. But in essence, the church is not the building. The house of the Lord is the building. And the church meets in the building. Now, how many of you all in here, and I know this may be a little more of a teaching thing than it is a preaching thing, but how many of you all in here think that church can be held anywhere? It doesn't have to necessarily be in this building. As long as it's God's people. As long as it's the saved, as long as it's the called out people that gather together, could we gather out in somebody's house? Could we gather out in the middle of a field? So the church doesn't necessarily have to gather in the house of the Lord. So why do we have the building? Nobody's got an answer for that one, do they? Why have a building if you can go anywhere? As long as you've got saved people that's gathered together, why can't you go anywhere? What about a tent?
No.
This
place is dedicated to the service of God.
Exactly. Exactly. This place has been, I don't know about this place, but a lot of places even anoint the building and dedicate it to absolutely to the service of God. That's the reason why, folks, we don't worship this building, but we hold it sacred. We don't come in here and conduct ourselves like we do in our everyday lives. We don't come in here. Brother Don stands up here and says, sometimes I don't want to say that, but my mouth doesn't do that. I don't have a stop on it. You're right, brother. He usually does, but there is sometimes he refrains from it. But I think that we ought to be careful on how we act, what we say. And I'm going to go even as far to say, I really don't think the house of the Lord is a place for a phone. That's just me. I know that a lot of you all are going to disagree with that, but you're in the middle of a service. The preacher, the pastor has studied, has prayed, has done diligence to try to preach God's word, and right in the middle of it, you have a phone go off. And then before you know it, you got somebody sitting there going, I'll call you back just as soon as services is over. Don't you think you could squelch the Holy Spirit that way? And also, I'm going to say one more thing. I know I'm on the phone business. I'm going to get on one more thing. I think we ought to be careful on what we look like when we walk through the door of God's house. I know this is not popular with a lot of people. Because you'll ultimately, if you say that, you'll have somebody come up, get in your face and say, well, what if somebody's only got a t-shirt and a pair of blue jeans? Well, let them come if that's all they got. But if you got something better, put it on. We ought to respect God's house. And let me tell you where that respect starts. It starts with, what kind of mindset and spiritual set do you have when you walk through that door back there? Mm-hmm. Are you here to look at your watch and say, I got to listen to him for about 15 more minutes? Do you walk through that door with everything in the world on your mind? Do you walk through that door back there looking for something to complain about? Do you walk through that door back there and walk into the Lord's house with malice in your heart toward another member of the church? Am I getting the rubber to the road right now? I told you, folks. Lots of times I don't have a filter. That's what I am going to pledge to the Lord, that I don't have a filter. Because I'm not going to compromise the things of God and the Word of God. I'm not going to. As long as I preach, if it's just 1 year that I get to preach and the Lord takes me home, I intend on telling it like it is and the way it should be. I'm not going to compromise. Ain't going to do it. And I use the word ain't. But it's in the dictionary now. Ain't's in the dictionary now. You come through that door back there and you have nothing in your mind, heart, body, soul that wants to be here and wants to take part in it and wants to be, you're just here because it's habit. It's Sunday morning. I go to church or I go to the Lord's house, whichever way you want to call it. Sunday afternoon, well, I'm already here. I'm not going to leave and go home, which a lot of people do. Wednesday night, do you know how many people we have here on Wednesday night service? 5, sometimes 8. And I know a lot of people work. I worked. I still work a little bit. But whenever you're able to be here, you should be here. Each and every time that door is open, you should be here. And you should be here with an open soul, ready to feed on the Word of God. You all don't understand. Well, my wife, bless her heart, she always tells me, whenever me and her are talking about something goes on, she says, but you don't understand. That's the first thing comes out of her mouth, and I'm like, I'm trying to, hun. I'm really trying to. You don't understand, folks, what it's like. Mike does. And some of you all that teaches does. But y'all don't understand what it takes to do this. You don't understand. You don't have a clue.
There's no 5 minute thought.
This is the second page. And this is the third page. What? What was that?
We'll be here a while.
No, I'm almost done, believe it or not. It's like I said, that's the reason I love my son-in-law. Y'all don't understand. It takes, this is probably, how much do you think I spent on this? About 5 hours?
Days. Really a lifetime.
You don't just sit down and look at these words and come up with this stuff.
No.
You don't do it. You've got to dig. You've got to look. You got to cross-reference. And you know what else you got to do? You got to do a lot of praying. That's the first thing. That's when you get out of the gate. That's the first thing. And you know what really galls me to no end? And maybe I shouldn't use that word from the pulpit, but I'm going to. It's for people to come in and sit in that pew and go like this, or be leafing through something, or looking out the window. Thank heavens you can't look out the window here, they got frosted over. Or sitting there saying, well, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, I don't agree with that. They go out and they call everybody up that was at church saying, did you hear what he said? I don't agree with it. Your state of mind, heart, and soul really makes this up here a lot simpler for the man that's doing it. Try it one time. See how you fare. Because it's not a simple thing. Brother Garth is a teacher. Brother Drew's a teacher. Brother Bruce is a teacher. Brother Mike does some teaching and preaching. Y'all know what it's like. You just don't sit down and read over two or three verses and come up with something. It doesn't happen that way. And at the same time, you're going to say, well, you're doing it. At the same time, the man that's up here preaching, or the person that is teaching from the teaching lectern, it isn't a bully pulpit. You don't beat people over the head with things. I didn't even know I was going to go down this road, because that's not what I've got in my notes here. Who was it? Was Brother Joe said you come up with a sermon topic and you preach away from it? This place right here, the house of the Lord, where the church meets, the ecclesia, the called out assembly, should be the center point of number one, the community. You can't get anybody in the community to come out. You can go knock on doors all you want to. Half the time you'll get slammed, the door slammed in your face, and the other half, well, I may show up Sunday. Well, that Sunday goes by, the next Sunday goes by, the next Sunday goes by, you don't see it. Remember what we studied in Sunday school this morning? Everybody come up with excuses? the land that they bought, the animal that they had gotten, the wife that they had married. Excuses. People comes up with excuses. And let me tell you something, folks. I know I'm getting to walking and my cameraman back there is going to have trouble keeping up with me. But let me tell you something. Because our churches is not center of our society today, you can see the rot in our society. And I'm talking about just despicable rot in our society. And it ain't going to get any better till the Lord comes back. When you've got people wandering around in a daze, not knowing whether they're a man or a woman, and you've got people running around nowadays saying that a man can get pregnant, we have a problem in our society, folks. And that's the reason why these pews ought to be full of people. So that they can learn something. My Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 that God created a man and a woman. Not a thing. And where do you learn these things? In the house of the Lord. You don't learn them out there on the street. You don't even learn them in school nowadays. Maybe some of these backwoods schools like ours around here that this progressive stuff hasn't gotten to yet. People make excuses not go to the house of the Lord. We even do that. Let me tell you something, folks. And I can tell you this from past experience on my part. If you miss one service, the next service is even easier. The next service is even easier than that. The next service is even easier than those. And before you know it, you're looking for excuses not to come. Right. That's a good slogan. It ought to be the center of our... Do you know that it hasn't been too many years ago? I'm not going to tell how old I am. But they're beginning to have to look at making two cakes for my candle. But it ain't been too many years ago. I'm sure that you all probably can reminisce back to this time. That whenever they set up a community, the first thing they looked at was if there was a water source for the community. The second thing that they done for that community was build a church. And everything in that area was surrounding that church. It was the centerpiece and the hallmark of that community. And people came from miles around. They even walked across the hills, believe it or not. We've got people right around here who won't walk across the yard. I'm almost done. That was what, the second time?
Second
clue. And believe it or not, you want me to tell you something real shocking? Real shocking. They used to have schools in the church building. Do you think that they would put a school in a church now? Oh my. No way, shape, or form. No way. Now you have churches that have Christian schools, but I'm talking about like a public school. Where all kids come in to that school, in that church. Do you know that people, I can tell you this, Back years ago, maybe some of you all in here are too young to remember this or heard it or even know it. But back during those times, the church was so important to the community that people would go out in the woods and pray for revival meetings before it even started. Guess what? Nowadays, you can't even get your own people out to revival meetings. I'm getting preachy, ain't I? Are you shuffling your feet yet? This is my second point, and I've only got two of them. The house of the Lord should be the center of our Christian lives. How do you think that you're going to grow in the things of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord if you don't come to the house of the Lord? Oh, you say, well, I can sit at home and I can read my Bible. And? I can sit at home and watch, what do they call it? Whenever they have services on the TV?
Live stream.
Thank you. I can sit home and watch the live stream. You being a child of God should be in the house of God. You're never, ever, ever, ever going to prosper in your Christian life and mature the way you should if you never avail yourself of the opportunity to be here. People say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. When was the last time you was to church? Oh, I ain't never been there. But I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. How do you know you're saved if you don't go to church? Somebody told me. That doesn't cut the mustard, folks. That doesn't make the smell test. This is the place that we come together as members of the Church of God, the called out assembly. We come together. We love one another. We care for one another. We pray for each other. We enjoy each other's company. And we learn about the things of God. That's what the center, God's house, should be centered in our lives. Let me finish up with this. I've kept you too long. This is it. This is the dead end. If you want to take your Bibles and go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, you can. But Paul is writing a letter to Timothy here about the church, concerning the church of Ephesus. You say, it's the book of Timothy. What's Ephesus got to do with it? That's where Timothy was. And Paul was writing to Timothy at the church of Ephesus, and he said these things. I write to you, to the verse 14, verse 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 3. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of study and looking and praying and pondering. And guess what? The central place of worship is here. If you're a member, your central place of worship is here in God's house whenever those doors are open. You want me to tell you a little secret? You know where the Lord gave me this subject matter? When it was down at Myrtle Beach. He gave it to me. And I wrote it down. I have to write it down just as soon as he gives me something or I'll lose it. It's gone. But I wrote it down and come home and I started working on it. I pray that you got something out of it today. I do. You all tell Brother Don, whenever he comes back, that he needs to move me out and move somebody else in. Brother, I'm finished.